I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold is here. It's a Friday. Thank you, Matt, for joining us.
And I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful
Radio. Hey. That's great, Matt.
Good to be here.
And I'm happy to be here, too. And I just want to share with our listeners, before we go to the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel, that today's going to be a special presentation. Why? Because we're going to be talking about what you can do for Holy Mother of the Church and regarding the Synod. That's going to take place October 6th in Rome. And so this is something that we're going to chat about, how much love we have for Holy Mother of the Church, especially at this time when there's a lot of confusion. So let's not have any confusion with the gospel. Matthew Arnold, please read the good news of Jesus from Luke on the daily mass readings.
Right. Okay. Yeah. This is today's reading in the ordinary form, the gospel according to Luke.
Yep.
Once when Jesus was praying in solitude, and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Thus far, the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew, every single day we read these gospel readings, and if you can't make a daily mass, even if you go on the internet and type in daily mass readings.
Sure, or you can go right to the bishop's website, usccb.org.
There you go.
And they have the daily readings right there.
Well, that's great. Hey, I want to mention, I want to bring Bishop Sheen into the room. So if I can bring Sheen ahead. Because we're talking about the Amazon Senate and what we can all do to help, you know, promote the Catholic faith, I have a comment from Bishop Sheen that took me a little while to find that seemed appropriate. But here it goes. He says, "Almost everyone today wants religion, but everyone wants a religion that does not cost too much." That is why Christianity has been watered down to suit the modern man.
You know what, Terry? That not only can we see that very clearly in what's going on in the church today, but it ties right into today's gospel too, because St. Luke, that's Luke's account of when Christ says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." And then he immediately says, "Okay, but I have to suffer. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to be raised on the third day." But you know, when in Matthew's version of that, that's the one we're familiar with, Matthew 16, right?
Yes, of course.
Where he says, "You are Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church." That when he says, "I'm going to have to suffer, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed by wicked men," Peter immediately says, "God forbid!
Yep,
don't do it." And what does Jesus say? Right, "Get behind me, Satan." And that's the thing here. When we water down our Christianity, we're taking that role of Peter. We're telling Jesus, "Oh, don't suffer, don't die for a sin." We want a religion where everything's just nice and nobody has any reason to feel uncomfortable.
And that's why Bishop Sheen also says, "Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday."
Amen.
Now, I want to just mention we're starting a novena starting tonight at the chapel here at Sacred Heart in Covina, and we're going to go 9 days, and what's the intention of the novena? The Amazon Senate, that we stick to the perennial teachings of the church and that the graces are given to the bishops, the Holy Father, all those participating. I think there's 300 people that are going to participate in this event. And so I want to invite you to come at 7 o'clock. I'm speaking too locally here at St. Francis of Rome in Azusa at 8 o'clock. So after the Holy Hour, I'm running over there to give a talk. If you're in the area, I'd love to see you there. But come, if you can't come to the Holy Hour for 9 days, I'm going to encourage you, because you might be around the world, make your own Holy Hour for the next 9 days And Matthew, this novena, can you tell us a little background on this novena?
Yeah, it's a novena to, yeah, it's Our Lady Untire of Knots.
Yeah.
And, you know, that devotion centers around a painting that's in a cathedral in Germany. I guess the Holy Father saw it when he was studying there.
That's right.
Years and years ago.
Yep.
And he became, you know, fascinated. It's a beautiful painting of Our Lady with a rope, and it's got a bunch of knots in it, and she's surrounded by angels, and the Holy Spirit is above her head, and she's undoing these knots. And the idea, of course, is she's undoing the knots that we tie up in our lives, you know, all these various situations, and in the church as well. And so, you know, I mean, it's gotten a lot more attention because of the Holy Father now. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, novena booklets and little things on the history of it and whatnot. But it is exactly the right place to turn is to Our Lady in the midst of this, this situation.
Oh, yeah. Well said. Before we get into the meat of our show, I want to just ask you also for prayers for China, communist China, where there's tens of millions of Christians suffering greatly. Mm-hmm. Here's the latest
outrage.
Yeah, I think that's a good term. Yeah. That China orders the Ten Commandments to be replaced with the communist leader quotes. So churches, Protestant and Catholic, that have these Ten Commandments outside or inside a church, you can't have that because the communist dictator there says that that's offensive.
Right. So instead of the Ten Commandments, and weirdly, that sounds not unlike some things that have happened in this very country.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Terry, you know, I don't want to get, you know, wildly off the rails, but we fought the Cold War, you know, with the forces of international communism for many, many years, right? The Cold War, they called it, because it's all about, you know, just these competing ideologies, you know, the kind of the democratic Republican version of things versus the, you know, socialist communist tyranny version. And weirdly, even though the Soviet Union kind of collapsed and world communism took a big step back, it seems like that fight is continuing in our own country amongst our own people, that we have now like a cold civil war that's going on.
Well said. Just a last comment about China. I think people will be shocked to know that there are 93 million Christians in China. Whoa.
And yeah, 93 million is a lot. I mean, I don't know what, they have an awful lot of people in China.
They do, you know, over a billion. Over there. But they say that by 2030, China will most likely have the largest Christian population in the world.
Wow.
See, they're surviving with this persecution because they're going underground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still difficult for China, so I would just ask for your prayers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely need our prayers.
Now, here's what I want to talk about, because this is kind of difficult to talk about because our love for Jesus and Mary and the church is so great that whenever we talk about, I would call, problems in the church, it's always difficult. But, you know, I look at the saints, Matthew, and in this article, it'll talk about how the saints spoke up with charity and clarity. Hey, something like Virgin Most Powerful Radio is doing. Mm-hmm. So here's what it's all about. Cardinal Burke and Bishop Snyder, they have on September 24th, so this Tuesday, last Tuesday, they came out and issued a statement. Are you ready for this, Matt? Defending loyal criticism of Pope Francis and protesting the approach and that are laid against such critics. And
right, almost, that kind of defamatory way that people are being treated when they speak up. Yeah.
Right. And so these remarks have eliminated the possibility of an honest and intellectual theological debate.
Yeah, I mean, he went so far as to say, to refer to some of the defenders of the Pope as... he says it's the infallibilization of every papal remark.
There you go. Well, that's, worshiping the papacy, and that we obviously never should be doing that. But in this three-page statement released by the National Catholic Register on Tuesday, the prelates, both of them, insist that they have a duty to speak out regarding the general doctrinal confusion reigning in the church today. And here's the kicker that I really feel well. I feel like, wow, I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. He says, and that the remaining silent would be a great sin.
Right. Yeah. The worst thing to do would just be to remain silent during the midst of all this stuff. And you know that because that proceeds from conscience, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you feel like something is going on that offends your conscience and you don't speak out, then you're going to be culpable for that.
And this document is called a clarification about the meaning of fidelity to the Supreme Pontiff. Now, these two men draw on the writings of soon-to-be St. John Henry Newman. He's going to be canonized October 13th, which is around the corner.
Right.
To explain why, in conscience, like Matt said, they have a duty to speak out. Now, Matt, I was impressed when they said they also assert that this sincere expression of concern comes from a great love for the salvation of souls and Pope Francis. Can you explain why they say that? Because I have my take on that.
Well, sure. Well, obviously, people need the kind of the whole truth in regard to being able to save their souls. Because as our Lord said, those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but it's a narrow path. You have to pick up your cross every day in order to follow him. And those are our Lord's very own words. So that fidelity to the deposit of faith is paramount in the salvation of souls. But it's also, he says, their love for the papacy, because, it is a matter of, defending the truth and defending the office and a love for the soul of the man that occupies that office.
Amen, brother. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to summarize the chief areas of confusion that they're referring to. I want to also thank all of you monthly donors. It's the end of the month, Matt. And we're looking at paying our bills.
Oh, no.
Yep. And I'm saying, wow, with those monthly donors that come in, we're paying our monthly bills. But we always welcome new donors. We sent a letter out this week that was encouraging people to become monthly donors. You're going to get recordings of all the different conferences.
That's right. If you're $25 a month or more, then you get a whole bunch of perks that go along with
it. You got it. So just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us. You can do it right on the phone, 877-526-2151. When we come back, we're going to talk more about summarizing what Cardinal Burke and Bishop Athanasius had to say about some confusion in the church. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great." And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out his will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's on out of town. I think he's in Central California at another conference promoting Virgin Most Powerful.
God bless him.
Yeah, and Matt Arnold's filling in. And we're talking about Cardinal Raymond Burke and Bishop Athanasius Snyder issuing a statement regarding some of the confusion in the church. And I want you to understand that the reason we're doing this is so that you can be part of the solution with your prayers and your sacrifices. Our leaders in the church definitely need our prayers. And again, I'm starting a novena tonight at 7 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Chapel for praying for this event.
You know, Bishop Burke also, some time ago, they recommended that that you offer at least a decade of the rosary every day and do some fasting for the good success, if you will, of this Amazon Synod.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that just in our family rosary. You know, I take one of the decades and dedicate it specifically for that intention.
Excellent. Good idea. So let's summarize these chief areas of confusion in the church today. They point to ambiguities. Yeah, you think regarding the indissolubility of marriage, the admittance of those cohabitating in irregular unions. Whenever I see the word irregular unions, I'm sorry, Matt. The Bible calls it adultery, okay?
Yeah, that would be the other word for it.
I think so. I know it's a hard word, but
but you know what? That's part of the problem, though, is the indulging in euphemisms.
I think so.
And not calling things by their name.
Yeah, and he says about Holy Communion, increasing approval of homosexual acts, errors regarding the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His redemptive work. And this is quite a mouthful. He's saying, and the recognition of diverse forms of paganism. Well, time out. Yes, their ritual practices suggested by the working document for the Amazon Senate. It starts October 6th. It goes all the way to the 27th.
Here's the problem.
I'm listening.
You know, the Second Vatican Council, for the first time, really, the Catholic Church embraced a form of ecumenism, where you're going to try and work for the common good with people of other faiths.
Right.
Okay. Now, it is a doctrine of the Church that you may not, it's a mortal sin to indulge in what's called communio in sacris.
That's true.
So I can't go and actively participate at a Protestant service or at a mosque or whatever.
You're shocking people.
Well, and it would be, it's wrong because it's, you know that those, if you know that their religion doesn't have the fullness of the truth, or if it's in fact a false religion, to participate in, you know, would be a denial of Christ. So you can't do that. But, you know, what about the, like when John Paul II did the prayer meeting at Assisi, and here's John Paul II, and he's praying, and here's a, you know, an Eastern Orthodox, and here's a Buddhist guy, and here's a, you know, imam, and whatever, and some, you know, a voodoo guy, whatever it might be. Well, how is that different? Well, I use the example of an abortion clinic. You're outside of an abortion clinic praying your rosary.
Of course.
Next to you, there's an evangelical guy who's reading a Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, and next to you is a Jewish guy. And he's doing his prayer, and then there's some new agey person, some neo pagan person, okay, who's not a Christian at all, doesn't even believe in the Judeo Christian God, but knows that taking an innocent life is wrong, and he's praying to the earth or whatever. The question is, are you committing a sin? And the answer is, of course not. Okay, but when you step across the line into error is if you say, oh, that pagan guy, his prayers are just as good as mine.
Well, that's...
He's on the way to salvation because he's following his own path. He's following his conscience. That is not what Jesus said.
Matthew, that's exactly what got Cardinal Burke and Bishop Snyder upset because they said to themselves, how would St. Paul, the apostle,
or
St. Athanasius the Great, or other great defenders of faith react to, I think you just nailed it, a document on human fraternity co-signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam and the Abba Dabu, which says that the diversity, now check this out, the diversity of religion is willed by God. And what would they say to the bishops participating in the Amazonian Senate? I have my thoughts on what they'd say, but let's hear you.
Well, you know, there's, again, I mean, a lot of people have tried to parse that and say, well, when they say that the diversity of religions is willed by God, that means is permissible, that he allows there to be a diversity of religions. And okay, understood in that way, it keeps it from being openly heretical. But is that the impression that it gives? I don't think so. And if you're saying that what the Pope signed is a document that says, yes, God in his permissive will allows Islam, but it's a false religion, that's not what that imam guy signed. That's not what he had in mind, clearly.
Matthew, you're right. And we had Bishop Athanasius on our show a week after he visited the Holy Father. And he said to us right on this show, the Terry and Jesse show, Holy Father, in his presence, would you please clarify your statement? Just what you just said, the permissive will, it's not God's will that all these religions are there. Well, the Holy Father said, oh yeah, that's what I meant. And then he said, well, would you please tell the flock that? Yeah. I got that.
Make that public.
And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, because I have a great love for the vicar of Christ, but he said something that bothered me. And when he said, you tell them, I won't. That disturbs me because his role is the unifier in the church. And
the papacy is the symbol of unity in the Catholic Church. That's why, I mean, technically speaking, if you get right down to it, a pope can't be in schism.
Right.
Because the bishops of the world have to be in union with him.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And because he is the symbol of unity.
Yes.
And so that's why it's so very important. That's why popes throughout history, say prior to the 20th century, especially, or prior to the second half of the 20th century and beyond, spoke rarely. And when they did speak, it was, in very formal and very studied language.
Yes.
And it's because they know that it's like the ripples of a pebble in a pond. Anything the Pope says is going to spread around the world. It's going to have an impact.
Very well said. Matthew, in the letter that the bishops wrote here, they said, it is impossible to think that St. Paul or St. Athanasius would remain silent in such circumstances. You know, if they were in our shoes today, let themselves be intimidated by accusations of speaking against the Pope. They say, and this is what the bishops are saying here, Bishop Athanasius and
Cardinal Burke. This is not you.
This is not Virgil.
Not me.
I agree with them.
This is Cardinal Burke.
Right.
Yeah.
Indeed, they add, it was Pope Francis who called for the parathesia without polite difference and without hesitation. So, affirming that the presence of God will judge us, that they are true friends of the Pope Francis, and have supernatural esteem of his person and supreme pastoral office, which I do too, and of the successors of Peter,
of course,
Cardinal Burke and Bishop Schneider say that they pray very much for Pope Francis and encourage the faithful to do the same. So the advice of what these two prelates are saying is, yes, we speak the truth in charity. We pray for the Holy Father every day. And they actually are enrolling St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More into the mix. Now, why do you think they're doing that?
Oh, I have
a guess.
I have a guess here. Of course, St. Sir Thomas More is my confirmation
saint. I knew that.
And he and Fisher were amongst the only public officials, Fisher being a priest and More being the Chancellor of England, that publicly opposed the schism of Henry VIII. And they both paid with their lives for it. And I think that's the point that he's making here. Sometimes when you are the truth teller and you go against the grain, there's going to be consequences.
Well, yeah, and that's what they're saying, is that by defending the integrity of the deposit of faith, they're supporting the Pope in his Petron ministry.
That's right. The papacy is the symbol of unity in the church, and it is the Pope's duty to give us the faith, the deposit of faith, unchanged and unadulterated.
Matthew, I have used this analogy over the years as a father. You're a father of children, and I am too. And the Holy Father is our spiritual father. And the Holy Father has asked us always to speak your mind clearly to him. I've heard this over and over again through his pontificate, saying, I want to hear. Even on the plane 2 weeks ago, he said to the guys, hey, if you got a solution to help stop a schism in the church, let me know what your solution is.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, I gave him my opinion on it.
Right.
You know, the perennial teachings of the church. That's what we need to proclaim, and that's what's going to keep the church together. Nothing else.
Well, I agree. You know, and that's the other thing, too, that I would you have to guard against, because there's a real and present danger of people falling off the deep end because of their concern about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, human mind hates confusion.
That's true.
Right? The human mind hates, you know, they call
clarity.
It cognitive dissonance. When something opposes something that you deeply believe, you know, this is the way Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock used to blow up alien computers, right?
Yeah.
They would feed in a contradiction and watch it, you know, implode. And it's the same thing with us. We can't stand that contradiction. You have to fix it. And a growing number of people are fixing it by saying, oh, well, Francis isn't just an error, or he's not just misunderstood, or whatever it might be. But they're saying, but he's actually a heretic. And so he's lost his office, and there's a whole host of problems with all that. But the set of a conscious position that people are throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
You absolutely cannot do that.
Well said, Matthew.
And there's nothing, by the way, for all of the documentation that they provide. I'm going to put that in quotes.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of cherry picked quotes that they pull out of context. For all of that, there is nothing in the tradition of the church about the Pope losing his office in that way. You know, sedevacantism is a fantasy. It's a comforting fantasy for some people, but that's all it is. It doesn't represent reality at all.
Well said. And I will also add, there's no place to go. We have the church, and so we go through tough periods. We're going to talk after the break about some of the tough times the church had been through, like now, and come up with solutions. Because I think what the bishops are saying, Bishop Athanasius Snyder and Cardinal Burke, says that our conscience does not allow us to be silent. And I relate to that. I could be silent, Matthew. I could be doing something else. So could you.
Mm-hmm.
But out of love for Christ, this impels us to give the teachings of Christ to anyone who will listen. And so if we were silent.
And that's the important thing, too. These men,
yes,
Cardinal Burke and Bishop Snyder, are not going off on their own.
No.
They're not rebelling against the church or the teaching of the church or even the Pope. They are not.
Well, here's what they're saying. We as brothers in the College of Bishops speak with respect and love so that the Holy Father may unequivocally reject the evidence of doctrinal errors in the instrument laboris for the upcoming special assembly of the Bishops Conference. Wow. He has a lot more to say about this, and I just want to say thank you for speaking the truth in charity and clarity. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matthew's filling in for Jess Romero. Jesse will be back, God willing, on Monday, and we'll talk more about how to handle the issues of the church today with faith and love.
We have an exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs. And if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, Jesus loves you.
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give.
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
Hi, this is Eddie Chavez, host of Jesus 911. I want to take this opportunity to let you, our listeners, know about an event being held here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 28th, 2019, beginning at 9 o'clock with Mass in the morning, and talks to follow. Ruben Nava and myself will be speaking, so come and hear us talk about St. Michael and Our Lady. Come join us, and we'll see you there.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I'm back. I'm going to say something about Matt. He's quick. We have breaks. Sometimes we stand up. Oh, my gosh. He came back just in time. Thank you, Matt.
I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Matt, we're talking about Bishop Athanasius Snyder and Cardinal Burke in regards to a four-page document. We're going through it about their love for Christ, and I love how they talk about it's compelling them to speak with the Holy Father about the concerns and the confusion. They summarize these times by saying that critics of us are saying that.
Critics of Cardinal Burke and
Cardinal
Schneider.
Burke and Bishop Snyder, that they're trying to say that we're trying to get power rather than reason, and that we don't appear to be interested, you know, engaging in this discussion. Well, here's the point we're making on this. They have a great love for the Petron office, for the Holy Father, and they have a great love for souls. So they're trying to affirm that the clarity needs to be in the church to keep people focused on Jesus Christ. That's their bottom line.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Hang on. Yeah. Look. He said that
I'm in the wrong page. Critics
of expression and concern often turn to sentiment or power rather than reason, do not appear to be interested in engaging in serious theological discussion. Well, you know, but that's just the thing. It's like in crazy times, it behooves sane men to keep repeating the obvious. All right? That's not an unwillingness to join in a conversation. It's just about holding tight to your position.
Right, and they're saying with this intervention that they wrote, as shepherds of a flock, see, they're expressed their great love for souls and for the person of Pope Francis himself, and I might add for the divine gift of the Petron office.
That's right. I've said many, many times on this program that was the intellectual linchpin of my conversion.
Of course.
That it's the papacy. That's the symbol of unity. That's how you know. How do you know what the Bible means? How do you know it's the church? Well, how do you know the church is there? Because Jesus Christ founded the church. He himself founded his church. And that's the pedigree that you have
to look for.
And I used to say that, when I would teach confirmation years ago, I would say to the kids, what's the one thing that the Catholic Church has that nobody else has? Mm-hmm. No other Christian, no other group. Yeah. What's the one thing? Oh, Mary? No. Mass. It's like, no, boy, the Orthodox, they have Mass. It's like, what is it? It's, you know, the understanding of the Pope as both his primacy and supremacy.
Right.
It's the Pope that sets us apart. That is the unique thing about being Catholic.
And these two bishops said that if we would not do this, by speaking out like now, we would be committing a great sin of omission and selfishness. For if we were silent, we would have a quieter life, that's for sure. You think?
Well, and if you're talking about power and influence and so forth, they would have far more by taking the route of compliance and quietness.
Oh, yeah. And perhaps we would even receive honors and acknowledgement.
Well, there it is.
There you go. However, if we were silent, we would violate our conscience.
You talked about this on the show. Didn't you talk about this on the show like yesterday or the day before? We were talking about primacy of conscience a couple of days ago.
Yep.
And that's the thing. You know what it is? You can't ever go against your conscience, but your conscience has to be well-formed.
That's right.
And I would hazard a guess that the conscience of Cardinal Berg and the conscience of Athanasius Schneider are pretty well formed with
these guys' Christian faith.
Without question.
One thing also, Bishop Sheen always said, Matt, when you get advice from somebody, go to someone who has suffered greatly. Mm. Well, guess what? Maybe you don't know this. Maybe this is brand new. But Bishop Athanasius Schneider lived under communism in Russia as a child.
Yeah, so he gets that suffering thing. Yeah,
yeah, they couldn't go to church for years. And, you know, so that's why I think he understands this, the gravity of all this. And I will say this, if we were silent, he said, yeah, we'd have a quieter life and, you know, honors. But if we were silent, we would violate our conscience. In this context, we think of the well-known words of the future Saint Cardinal John Henry Newman. You know, he says, I shall drink to the Pope, if you please, still to conscience first and to the Pope afterwards.
Oh.
Think about that one.
Well said. It's, you know, it's like St. Sir Thomas. And St. Sir Thomas More was not a martyr to conscience. He was a martyr to the Catholic faith.
That's right.
All right. But it was a matter of conscience. He told his daughter, he says, because he couldn't break his oath.
Yeah.
Right? and he says to his daughter, he says, when you take an oath, you hold yourself in your hands like water. And if you should lose yourself then, you need not have any hope of finding yourself again. Right, he would not forswear himself by agreeing to Henry's schism, and at the end, and I've stood on this very spot when I last visited England. I stood on the spot where he was executed, where he
really
said the words, "I die today, the king's good servant, but God's first." And if you change that to Pope and conscience, you've got Cardinal Newman.
And, you know, they also quote in this letter, we think of those memorable germane words of, and I didn't even know about this, Michele Cano, one of the most...
Melchior Cano.
Yeah, one of the most learned bishops during the Council of Trent.
Yes, Melchior Cano's his writing's very, very influential.
Yeah. Well, he says, Peter does not need alteration. Those who blindly and indiscriminately defend every decision of the pontiff are those who most undermine the authority of the Holy See. They destroy instead of strengthening its foundations. I think I just rocked some people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to read that one more time.
Yeah, read it one more time.
Peter does not need our adulation.
Adulation.
Right? We don't need to worship the Pope.
That's right.
Those who blindly and indiscriminately defend every decision of the Supreme Pontiff are those who most undermine the authority of the Holy See. Because the authority of the Holy See rests upon the grace of the office. It rests upon the promise of Christ, not the person of the Pope. Okay, and they destroy instead of strengthening its foundations. Remember that Melchior Cano said those words in the middle of the Protestant Reformation.
Wow.
Okay.
Even more.
At a time when millions of Catholic Christians throughout Europe were rejecting the papacy. You know, and he's going, yeah, you got to stay Catholic, but you don't. You put your blind faith in the Pope. You put your faith in Christ. And you put your faith in his promise that underpins that papal office.
That quote blew me away when I read that. Matthew, he says in the four-page document, in spite of the fact that dialogue and theological debates were encouraged and promoted in the life of the church during the past decades after the Second Vatican Council, in our days, right now, there seems to be no possibility of an honest intellectual theological debate and of the expression of doubts regarding affirmation and practices which seriously obfuscate and harm the integrity of the deposit of faith and the apostolic tradition. Such a situation leads to the discard for reason and therefore for truth. He said a mouthful right there.
He did. And you know what? He's really saying in a succinct way what Benedict XVI was on about throughout his entire pontificate, that that debate has to be grounded in the teaching of the church. That you don't that's the thing, that's the median from which you do not deviate, and that the important thing is while you remain intellectually honest, that intellectual honesty also has to embrace the, you know, your embrace of the truths of the faith.
And I'm going to interject here and say there's a couple situations that come up in my mind where the dialogue's not taking place. For example, when former Cardinal McCarrick was defrocked And the Vatican said, we're going to look into this and find out who knew what, because over 100 bishops in America were concerned, saying, we need to look into who knew what. And the Holy See said, okay, we'll do it. And nothing took place. And I'll give you another example of this dialogue not taking place. September 16th, 2015, 16, Cardinal Burke and three other cardinals wrote a dubia to the Holy Father, mm-hmm. asking for clarification. Mm-hmm. Over 3 years.
Yeah, two of them have died waiting for
yes. answer. And my point is, Holy Father, please answer the question for the good of the salvation of souls.
And, well, and here's the thing, too. I would remind you, this goes back to what the Cardinal Burke said earlier about being dismissed, you know, and kind of this defamatory reaction that's given to people who would raise these questions. Yeah. You understand that they're doing everything precisely according to the procedure that you should follow. They are the ones who are following the protocol, and you know, and it's really difficult to understand why they haven't been answered.
Right, and I just will say that I've had several phone calls, even right before the show, of people asking me, what's going on? What's going on in our church? What? How can I stay stable in my faith when such ambiguity is going on? And they even ask, is the Pope changing the word of God? Is he doing? No. Is he changing the commandments? No, he can't. No Pope, no bishop has the authority to change what divine revelation teaches. So I tell people continually, go back to the perennial teachings of the church, and that's what you believe. No matter what.
That's right. And again, to invoke Benedict XVI, because I think he's a great figure in our time, and his insistence on the hermeneutic of continuity. And this is entirely where these men are coming from, Cardinal Burke and Bishop Athanasius Schneider, that you understand and interpret, you know, modern ideas and modern teachings in light of the tradition of the church. You don't reinterpret the tradition of the church in light of modern teaching. Right, that's putting the cart before the horse, and that's why. And it's unfortunate that some people who are critical of what's going on in Rome are losing sight of that principle, and they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater if they're not careful.
Absolutely. And when we come back, I'm going to ask the question, because it's in their document: how would the Apostle Paul react today? Mm. And we're going to base his reaction on what he did in the Acts of the Apostles. And when you come, when we come back, get yourself a cup of coffee, because this is going to be interesting what the Apostle Paul has done in the Acts of the Apostles and what I think he would do today in the modern church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matthew's filling in for Jess Romero. He'll be back on Monday. I want to also thank you. This is the end of the month, and thank you for all your donations, your prayers. If you'd like to make a one-time donation or a monthly donation, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. When we come back, I want to ask the question, what would the Apostle Paul say today, 2,000 years later? We'll be right back. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary in the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. A very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yeah, well, it's Terry and Matthew, because it's Friday here. It's our typical scenario for the Terry and Jesse Show on Fridays, filling in for good Mr. Romero. I just wanted to put a quick plug in for Happy Hour. In the next hour, I'm going to be on the Happy Hour program. We talked last week a little bit about why you should be Catholic, and I'm going to start talking about reasons why you should stay Catholic.
Oh,
and
amen.
The first thing we're going to do is answer the question, why do I have to go to Mass?
Well, that's
so
great.
If you've got a kid or a grandkid, you've ever heard somebody say, why do I have to go to Mass? Well, you're going to find 10 good reasons on this program. Or at least we're going to start that. We may have to spill over into next week. But why be Catholic? Why stay Catholic? Why do I have to go to Mass? All that and more on Happy Hour coming up in the next
hour. Excellent. And don't forget, all these shows are on podcasts so that you can listen to them anytime. You can send them to your relatives or friends. They're available on our website. Now, I said Jesse, didn't I?
Yeah, Matthew, well, I think you're
Matthew, I mentioned at the break that what would the Apostle Paul
say? Yeah, what would the Apostle Paul say?
Well, let's go back to the Apostles. Here he says, One must keep in mind the fact that the Apostle Paul publicly reproached the first pope in Antioch in the matter of a lesser gravity compared to the errors with which our days are spread in the life of the church. St. Paul publicly admonished the first pope because of his hypocritical behavior and of the consequent danger of questioning the truth that says that the prescriptions of the Mosaic law are no longer binding for Christians. How would the Apostle Paul react today? That's the question. If he would read, Matthew, the sentence of the Abu Dhabi document, which says...
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, Abu Dhabi, yes. Which says that that God wants, in his wisdom, equality, diversity, sexes, nations, religions, among which there are religions, which practice adultery, blaspheme Jesus Christ... Such an affirmation affect indeed a relativization of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and of his redemptive work. What would St. Paul, Matthew, or St. Athanasius, or other great figures of Christianity say when they read such a phrase and the errors expressed in this instrument of laborious, which is the working document for the upcoming Senate, on the Amazon document. Now, my question is, it's impossible to think that these figures would remain silent or would let themselves be intimidated with reproaches and accusations of speaking against the Pope. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, that's just it. You're talking about speaking up when it's time to speak up. There's a great Latin axiom, which I don't remember it in Latin, but in English it means it behooves watchdogs to bark.
Oh, yes, I've heard it.
You know, and there's another one that's a very famous quote, ipsos custodiat est custodes, who will watch the guardians?
Yeah.
Right? People, we have to be, and so what does St. Peter, our very first pope, tell us to say, stay sober, stay alert, right? Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for those to devour. We always have to remain vigilant at all times. And yeah, that's not just for us personally, but especially for prelates in the church. Their duty is not just to themselves, but to their flock and to the church at large. When you become a cardinal, certainly.
Well, when Bishop Athanasius and Cardinal Burke wrote this, they also talked about some history. Could you read a little bit of the history of the church?
Okay, what we're talking about, they bring up Pope Honorius.
Yep.
Okay, Pope Honorius was, particularly scandalous in the history of the papacy.
It happened. It's a fact.
Yeah, this is, just a matter of our history. And they say, and I'm quoting, when Pope Honorius I in the 7th century showed an ambiguous and dangerous attitude regarding the spread of the heresy of monothelitism, right, the Monothelites, which denied that Christ had a human will.
Right.
St. Sophronius, the Patriarch of Jerusalem, sent a bishop from Palestine to Rome, asking him to speak, pray, and not remain silent until the Pope condemned the heresy.
Wow.
If St. Sophronius lived today, he would certainly be accused of speaking, quote, against the Pope.
Yep.
Right? Because that's the reaction they're getting. I would also mention something about Pope Honorius in this context.
Tell me.
He was not zealous enough in condemning this heresy. He kind of, you know, turned a blind eye to the Monothelite heresy. Whether he privately held it or not is a matter of some debate. But he, subsequent to his death, was condemned for the heresy of Monothelitism. And here's the thing. He's still on the list of popes. Okay? He didn't lose his office over it. He didn't stop being pope. They didn't strike his name from the, you know, the list of holders of the papal office. But the fact remains that, yeah, that those you know, who understood what was going on had the duty and the right to speak up.
Well said. And, you know, we need more St. Athanasius today, because he never tired of publicly denouncing any ambiguity. And Pope Liberius excommunicated him in 357. What?
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, he was. Four times he was exiled.
Mm-hmm. Got kicked out of his own diocese.
So, come on, it hasn't been that bad yet, has it?
No, well,
did you hear that, everybody?
Yeah, buy me a beer.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I really think.
And you know, St. Hilary of Posters reported the fact that, you know, he rebuked Pope Liberius for his ambiguous attitude. It's significant that Pope Liberius, unlike all the predecessors, this is interesting, Matthew, was the first pope whose name was not included in the Roman martyrology. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, you know, our public statements, as the Holy Father, these bishops are saying, public statements correspond with the following words of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. One general basic condition is this: speaking honestly. That's what these guys are doing.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's the Pope himself said,
let no one say,
I cannot say this.
Right.
They will think this or that of me.
Right on.
It's necessary to say with pharesia all that one feels.
That's important,
and it is. It's, you know, I mean, and we're praying that you know that the Holy Father will practice what he preaches.
And I love what he says. We affirm the presence of God in this letter, who will judge us as we are true friends of Pope Francis. I love that. True friends speak the truth to each other.
Well, Terry,
I wouldn't want it any
other
way.
I think of myself as your friend. If I was about to put my hand in a campfire, would you try and stop me?
Of course I would.
Because why? Because you're my friend.
Exactly.
You know,
or if I ever saw you, I'm going to be honest with you. I said this to Jesse. If I ever saw you living a life that was contrary to the gospel, public, especially if it was in your marriage or anything, I'd be in your face. I would tell you the truth in love and devotion, but I would not be hesitant to do that. I would do it right away.
That's right, because that is, that's true love.
Yeah.
True love is you know, to will the good for the other.
St. Thomas, I tell you, took it right from Thomas. Now, he says, we have supernatural esteem of his person and the supreme pastoral office of the successor of Peter. We pray very much for the Pope Francis and encourage the faithful to do the same. He says, with grace of God, we are ready, I love this, to give our lives for the truth of the Catholic faith. About the primacy of St. Peter and his successors. Should persecutors of the church ask us to deny this truth, we look to the great examples of fidelity. Now, I'm getting chills right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fidelity to the Catholic Church of the patron primacy, such as St. John Fisher, a bishop and cardinal of the church, St. Thomas More, a layman, and many other saints and confessors who invoked their intercession. I love this too. The more lay faithful priests, bishops hold on to defend the integrity of the deposit of faith, the more they in fact support the Pope in his patron ministry. For the Pope is first in the church to whom to apply the admonitions of Holy Scripture. Hold the form of the sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Guard the good deposit of good deposit entrusted to you. That's 2 Timothy 1:13-14. And then they sign the document.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these are men who love Holy Mother, the Church.
And they're, you know, it was not very long ago that they issued a it's almost like a catechism, a clarification of the various disputed issues.
Yeah,
you know, I would, I've been threatening to do this maybe in the month of October. Well, we'll take hold of that on Happy Hour, and we'll just go through it.
That'd be awesome.
Because I'll tell you what, it's important stuff, and it's stuff that every Catholic, you know, take a deep breath. Every Catholic already ought to know.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't. And so, you know, it's something that is worth examining.
The show before us, Gary Matruda's show, he was talking about the Pew Research report on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and showing how few Catholics really know their faith when it comes to the real presence. This is the problem in the church right now. People don't know their faith. And I would encourage anyone who wants to give a short course by Bishop Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living. Mm. Get it by calling 877-526-215. And that's 24 hours of his convert course.
I consider that a really important part of my formation.
Me too. I've been listening to it hundreds of times. And I would encourage you to get that for your kids, for wedding gifts, anything. There's an MP3 disc with your catechism on the other disc called Our Catholic Faith. And if you give us the $25 donation, it's yours, postpaid, okay? Call 877-526-2151 because the truth is what sets us free.
Amen.
And that's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful, I believe, with truth and charity. This was very difficult for me, Matthew.
I know. I don't. You don't like to talk about
the problems
in the church or whatever. I'd much rather be talking about the good news.
Yeah, teach people the meaning and purpose of life.
That's right.
Matthew Arnold.
Things are what they are.
I've got to remind you, don't turn the dial, because right after this show, Matthew starts up the Happy Hour, and he's been, why don't you just tell him again?
Hey, by the way, I think it was yesterday, you said that there were as many FSSP priests ordained in the last year as there were ordinary form priests?
Yeah, in France.
In France.
Showing you how the Fraternity of St. Peter's group is growing. And in France, the traditional liturgy is about 50% the new priests are from the traditional liturgy, the extraordinary form.
I guarantee they believe in the real presence of Christ.
But you see, and I'm just going to say this now.
And that's some good, I want to end on some good news.
Yeah, it's good news because you see what's happening is traditional Catholic teachings, when people get the truth, they love it. And they embrace it. And that's what we try to do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And we always say this at the end. You know what I'm going to ask, Matt. Matt, what state should you be living in, brother?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
Yep. And what state shouldn't you be living in, brother?
Want to avoid that state of mortal sin.
And if you haven't been to confession for a while, I said this yesterday and today, go to confession. What do I mean by a while? If it's been over a month, your spiritual fitness trainers are saying, get your you-know-what into the confession. Get yourself into the box. Go to confession. It's good for what ails you. It cleans you up. You're going to take a shower this weekend, aren't you? I hope. Or a bath? Well, take a shower when you go to confession. Get your sins forgiven. And even if you're not in mortal sin, St. John Paul II talks about devotional confession. To get the graces.
Amen. You get actual grace at that point, which is grace to help you be holier. I'm guessing that to all of us could use a little bit of that.
Amen. So full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, Happy Hour with Matt Arnold on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God bless you this weekend. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.